Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Interview with Dennis Pratt from Occupying Freedom Festival. So if you missed that, you can grab that online, including the after show version, the uncensored after show that we did last night as well. Both of those are together in our podcast from last night. So if you're subscribing to our podcast at feeds.freetalklive.com, you would have just gotten like a 3.5 hour long podcast instead of our normal 2 hour or 2.5 hour length.
I saw it today, and if you're going to listen to it, that's the way to do it. If you're going to watch the video, it's, you know, fractured across two videos. The other way, you have to watch the radio show part of it and then the video part or the podcast part. Just watch the podcast, get all the ones. It's really good. It's really worth listening to.
That's the longest interview we've ever done.
Yeah, we sat here talking with Dennis Pratt, you, me, and Bonnie for 4.5 hours.
I suspect no one in the... Yeah, he told me, he thanked me for having him on last night. He said he actually got a full night's sleep because he was exhausted after. It was like the first time he got a full night's sleep in a while. Cause he's been
I apologized
really
to him afterwards. Like, as soon as I left here, I apologized because I was like, man, I don't know that I was, but I feel like I was too antagonistic. I have nothing but respect for Dennis, and he does this amazing job of putting Porkfest together. And I was like, I'm afraid none of that came across in the episode. So I also said I would mention it tonight.
And I think you said that toward the end. I think you gave him props and appreciation, and I think that you did. But it doesn't hurt to say it again.
Yeah, sure.
But I suspect, you know, no one had their minds changed that was in a studio, but last night maybe some people listening were influenced one way or another.
Constance, who is running the Porcupine Freedom Festival on the ground, once it's actually started, Dennis organizes it, apparently, but once it's actually started, someone else manages it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She's mentioned today that she might call into the show. She's interested in calling into the show because she has her own reasons for why RFK should be there and all this other stuff. And, you know,
happy to hear him.
She also wants to talk about, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. She also wants to talk about the woman issue at Porkfest. Like, where are all the women? And this is, of course, something that I noticed like 4 years ago. And I tried to start...
I always thought there were a fair amount of women at Porkfest. What's the problem?
There are and there aren't.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the men who come are married, and the women come with
them.
Because of that. But like as far as single women or women who aren't attached to a partner...
Less likely that...
Those don't seem to really exist. And Ladies Night Out, a number of years ago, Porkfest was designed to fix that.
Mm.
And of course it didn't work. No. That was also the first year that I was like deep in Free Talk Live and other stuff that caused me to get raided and arrested by the FBI like 7 months after that. So I was very, very busy that year and didn't put energy into Ladies Night Out that it really warranted. It was basically just a place for people to go and buy wine, which, you know, was great.
Indeed.
But I didn't make any progress toward getting women there. But it was very clear that it was necessary because when I brought this idea up to people, one of the first responses that I got was, yeah, you're right. We can get some prostitutes up here. Like, wait.
God.
Yeah, right. Like, when I say we should get women at Porkfest, your mind should not immediately go to prostitutes. And I think the fact that it does.
And therein is where lies the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the attempt to fix that went nothing, and apparently this is an issue that she's also noticed and she wants to do something about. I don't know. I didn't ask her what that was. I was like, you're welcome to call. So maybe she will.
I don't think we introduced ourselves. I'm Ian.
Are you?
And Mark.
Mark's with us from a remote location. And, of course,
Florida.
The phones are open. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. I do want to say thanks to Dash right up front because I forgot last night during our show. We were just so into the interview that we were doing. So I want to remind you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, and it has been one of the longest-running cryptos out there. In fact, 2014
is when Dash started. It had a different name at the time. They rebranded later on as Digital Cash. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. And the fees make it something you actually want to use, unlike Bitcoin, where the fees, last time I looked, I think it was last week, were in the range of $2 per transaction for the median transaction. And that's kind of like your typical transaction. So very, very expensive to use Bitcoin. Dash, on the other hand, less than 1 cent per transaction. It's fast. It works. It's protected from the 51% attack by their Chainlocks technology. And you definitely need to look into Dash if you've never done so. In fact, the price, lots of crypto prices have been dipping over the last couple days with the attacks against the cryptocurrency exchanges, which we're going to talk about here shortly.
I also have an article from Gensler. Well, it's not from Gensler, but it's about Gensler. And he's like, look, we don't need more digital currency. We have the USD.
Yeah, I've got that one, too. We'll talk about that. So you can go grab up a Dash. I think today it dropped below $40. For one Dash. So big thanks to the Dash.
Good time to buy.
What do you need all this cryptocurrency for? They're making plenty of dollars.
That's basically what he's saying. Big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, the first one in the world, by the way, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. So, yeah, the big news yesterday that we mentioned at the top of the show, but you know, obviously didn't get into, was that the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, criminal enterprise, is now going after Binance, which is the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. Don't be confused here, folks, because we were talking about a very similar story maybe like a month or a month and a half ago or something, which was a different federal regulatory agency suing Binance.
Why was the CFTC suing them? Because I don't remember
that was
now.
The CFTC, the so-called Commodities Futures Trading Commission, had filed a lawsuit against Binance like 2 months ago or something like that, and basically alleging you guys are, you know, you didn't have a license and you're trading commodities or something without our permission.
Well, it was the futures that they were upset about.
Yeah.
And like, I don't remember why.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
And so they went after him, and that's like, you know, that was a big deal because Binance is the largest cryptocurrency exchange on the planet by volume, and it dwarfs everything else. They're huge.
Yeah.
And
Coinbase is second.
Coinbase, I don't think Coinbase is second globally, but Coinbase is the biggest in the United States.
Okay.
And when you don't include Binance, Coinbase would be second in the U.S. And now the news has dropped that the SEC has sued Binance as of yesterday. So they've got two civil suits, accusing them of all kinds of, quote, wrongdoing.
And remember, people, Binance, not an American company.
No, but they do have a U.S. division. They have Binance.us, so they do have a subsidiary that's based in the United States. And, of course, they've been named in the lawsuit from the SEC. And then one day later, after they sued Binance, the SEC has finally announced they are now suing Coinbase. We knew they were going to.
Oh, yeah, they served them the Wells notice.
So the way the SEC apparently does things is they have to tell you they're going to sue you in advance of actually filing the lawsuit, and that's what the Wells notice is for. That came out, like, I don't know, a couple months ago or something like that.
And that's the most bureaucratic nonsense ever. Yeah. Here's your notice to let you know that I'm giving you a notice about a notice that is coming.
So we'll start with the Binance story here. The SEC is alleging that Binance has, of course, violated the securities law, which, by the way, was written in the 1930s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely irrelevant to today.
Right. What we're talking about here is something that they could not have possibly ever imagined, cryptocurrency or
before the invention
even a computer
of the internet,
right?
Before the invention of debit cards.
Yeah.
Any of that.
Maybe they had checks back in 1930, but that's about it. So the world's largest crypto exchange, according to Reuters, and its CEO, Chengpeng Zhao, operated a web of deception, according to the SEC, that included artificially inflating its trading volumes and diverting customer assets, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit.
That can't be possible. They can't inflate their trading volume, except with Monero. They could lie about how much Monero they're trading, but everything else is on the blockchain and publicly available.
No. What's on the blockchain is their holdings. They do not have the transactions on the blockchain because those are all internal in a database.
Oh, that's right.
When you make an exchange on a campaign, for listeners or campaign exchange, when you exchange on an exchange, you've deposited your cryptocurrency to this centralized control, this place where you're not in control of your crypto, right? This violates one of the main rules of cryptocurrency, which is not your keys, not your coins. If you don't have control of your cryptocurrency, somebody else does. And if they go out of business, somebody hacks them.
Or loan it to someone like SBF did.
Right. Or the government steals it, it's gone. And you'll probably never see pennies on the dollar or whatever. You probably won't ever get it back. So never put your crypto in an exchange for longer than you absolutely have to. Use decentralized exchanges if you can, because then you still contain, in most cases, control over the coins. But when you hand it to...
Decentralized exchanges are largely sort of experimental at this point, right?
Decentralized exchanges, you say?
Yes.
Everything is experimental. Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees out there, right? Like, there's always the possibility that code is broken, that there may be bugs or whatever in code. There could be exploits. So unless you're a programmer and you can go in and actually look at the code and validate it yourself, then you still don't really know. Further, you never really know anyway, because even if the place is open source, you still can't be sure they're running the proper code on their server.
But, I mean, AirSwap existed before I even moved to New Hampshire from Mississippi, so that's running on, what, 6.5, 7 years, maybe 8? And that's a decentralized exchange. It's one of the earliest decentralized exchanges.
Do they still exist?
Yeah, they do, but they're like...
Is it like an Ethereum-only thing?
It is Ethereum-only. Okay, that was their big hurdle. Right?
Yeah, that's
but,
where...
I mean, they exist, and so, like, how experimental is it if we could say, no, look, it's been going on for at least 8 years now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the top Ethereum or token exchange is Uniswap, and it's very, very popular, and they compete with the centralized exchanges as far as their volumes are concerned. So, I mean, presumably these are organizations who've been vetted properly. There's a lot of people with eyes on the code. And I would say at this point we know that decentralized exchanges are, I would say, you know, in phase two or whatever. Like, they're not in beta test anymore. Not all of them. I mean, there still are some newer technologies that's a good way to put it. It's getting safer. But that said, you still don't want to put something up that you can't afford to lose. That's a general rule with this whole crypto experiment. So anyway,
I got another question there.
Yeah, of course.
If this is everyday and common, why haven't the other exchanges, the major exchanges, adopted the decentralized aspect of it?
Well, because they wouldn't make as much money.
And they also like control. It's the same reason, like, the Free State Project won't become a decentralized autonomous organization, right? Because they could, but it would mean losing control over things.
Yeah, their model is to make money on every transaction, and that does happen in a decentralized exchange, but in a decentralized exchange, it's the users of the exchange who are providing the liquidity for the exchange, and they get the fees. Now, in the case of a centralized exchange, whenever an exchange happens, the centralized exchange collects 100% of the fees, and the users get nothing.
It's also worth mentioning that if you, a user, and deposit one Bitcoin into your centralized exchange, you're like, I want to sell some of that for Ethereum or for Litecoin or whatever, then they don't actually have to pay any transaction fee to send that Bitcoin to a wallet and to send the Litecoin to your wallet. All they have to do is go into their spreadsheet and deduct the Bitcoin and add the amount of Litecoin. So they don't have to pay the actual transaction fee that would exist in a decentralized exchange.
You're saying the centralized exchange doesn't pay transaction fees for every swap.
Right, because there's not actually a blockchain transaction.
Whereas on a decentralized exchange, yes, you're right. Every swap does cost whatever the network fees.
And so by not having those, it's just money that they're not paying that otherwise.
But they also have to pay for a lot of overhead. They've got a lot of staff. They've got a lot of customer service. They've got all these compliance departments. There's a big cost to running these centralized exchanges, and they have governments shoving down their throats. So what the good side of this SEC continuing attack, like, they're going after the biggest of the big now. They went after the little smaller guys like Bittrex and Kraken, and they've hit hard on the lower.
God, it's so crazy to think of Kraken as one of the lower exchanges.
Yeah.
I know you're right, but
they've gone after those guys, and they've, you know, gotten their way, and now they're going after the biggest of the big, Binance and Coinbase. And the good news, I think, about this is people don't change in general. Like, we were talking last night about how people are generally reticent to change. Like, it was hard to get free staters to leave Facebook and join Telegram, for instance, just, you know, to get the Porcupine Freedom Festival attendees to change a chat app. And it's hard to get people to change financial habits, too. Like, if you're used to going to centralized exchanges, that's where the volume is. That's where all the users are. That's where, you know, it's easy to get swaps done with low fees. So that's where people go. But if it's going to start freezing accounts and going out of business and potentially being seized by the government, you're going to start seeing more people looking at aspects like decentralized exchanges as an alternative, looking at things like Uniswap for tokens, or now for what they call level one cryptocurrencies, which is like the base level Bitcoin Cash, Atom, you know, some of these bigger ones, Binance Smart Chain, there's Tether, a lot of these bigger named cryptos are on ThorChain, for instance. And then there's the new Maya protocol, which has forked. They took the ThorChain code and they did what they're calling a friendly fork, where they're working.
Good. Competition's great.
It's competition, but it's also friendly. They're working
right
with ThorChain because there's still a limit. You know, in the same way that a centralized exchange has a limit to the amount of people that can be on their servers, there's a limit on a decentralized exchange to the amount of people that can use that blockchain that is used to make the swaps. So knowing that with the idea being that ThorChain, which is the world's kind of first real decentralized exchange where you can swap these level one coins.
That's the amazing development. I'm not sure I ever expected that to actually come to fruition because it's such a technologically complicated thing.
And they pulled it off, and it's been in operation now for a few years. And so the Maya protocol people took that and they said, well, we want to do the same thing, except change it a little bit. We're going to take the code, make some changes to it. And they're supposedly going to be putting Dash into the Maya protocol thing pretty soon, which we'll let you know when that happens. But these are definitely some really interesting technologies because you can go to one of these exchanges, these decentralized exchanges. You do not have to identify yourself. There's no way to identify yourself.
Some of them you can sign up with just an email address.
There's not even a sign-up.
Which can be a throwaway.
There's not even that. It's just,
oh, really? Okay.
You just generate a wallet, and then that's it.
Awesome.
You're in.
Yeah, the only real issue with any of this is that you can't take your USD to these decentralized exchanges and turn it into cryptocurrency.
Yep.
And that's one of the main reasons that the SEC is going, and the CFTC and the U.S. government in general, is going after these exchanges like Coinbase and Binance. They want to make sure that, hey, here's the exact way that people can get into cryptocurrency. This way we can control it.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shut down what you call the on-ramps and the off-ramps. That's why they targeted the people like the Crypto Six, like us, going after the what they call peer-to-peer exchangers with criminal charges. They're going after Binance and Coinbase with civil cases. But they're, quote-unquote, charging them. But if they're found responsible, they only have to pay millions of dollars. They're not, Cheng Peng Zhao is not going to go to prison in this particular case.
And to give people an idea of how bad it is, local Bitcoins, one of the longest-running peer-to-peer cryptocurrency exchanges, has closed.
They closed their doors. Yep, that's
local
right. After more
Bitcoins
than a decade.
Has closed.
Yeah. After a decade, 11 years or something in operation. So it's an all-out attack on cryptocurrency, and it's really sad for people in the United States. I think it was Coinbase that pointed out in their response video they made today to the lawsuit that there's over a million jobs that could leave the United States if this attack on the cryptocurrency industry continues, and there's no reason to think it's going to stop.
And I think that this is sort of the unsung aspect of this that many Americans really don't understand is that whether or not Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency becomes the world reserve currency. And by the way, the United States government has already said that a cryptocurrency is going to become the world reserve currency. So the belief
what?
That a cryptocurrency, the CBDC.
That's not a cryptocurrency.
All right. A digital currency.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so, I think they're probably wrong. I mean, they can't predict the future any more than we can.
The dollar's already a digital currency.
Yeah, but it's also not really the world's reserve currency right now.
Yeah,
and it's steadily losing that place.
It's losing its place.
It's losing that place, but, I mean, you know, the guy at the top of the hill is still at the top of the hill. And
for
so
now,
he's
yeah.
not. Yeah. And admittedly, else is going to be at the top of the hill, but I can't tell you who that's going to be.
Right.
You know, maybe it's going
to
be Bitcoin. Maybe it's going to be the ruble. I have no idea. Well, I have an idea, but you know, I can make a prediction.
And there may be a BRICS currency still to come. There's still talk about BRICS, which of course is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. There's like something like 24 countries.
I think Saudi Arabia and other OPEC nations are getting in on it.
They're trying to join. I don't think there's been like an announcement on who they're letting in yet or what, but there's a big rush by a bunch of other countries in the world to join BRICS. They're already like 25% of the world's GDP and 50% of the world's population or something like that. It's crazy. I saw some statistics about them recently. So.
And what's uniting these countries is the literal desire to not have the USD as the reserve currency.
That's one of them.
Like, that's the main thing they want to accomplish here.
Right. And I don't know how well they're going to do with that. But ultimately, you know, there's going to be a change in this sphere and something's going to happen. So, you know, will it be Bitcoin? I don't know whether the answer to that or not. But the United States driving away cryptocurrency, and that's what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no other way to look at this. It, driving away cryptocurrency is aiding and abetting its own enemies. Is all that would have to happen right now is for Russia to say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. We'll go ahead and we'll take the Bitcoin as our thing. Or some other nation or the BRICS or whatever to take on Bitcoin. And then suddenly the United States overnight is no longer the world leader. And that would be the big change. And it's the Biden administration's fault. Not to say that the Trump administration was doing anything great, but the Biden administration has presided over a witch hunt in the area of cryptocurrency. And we as Americans should be like, embrace this technology.
Well, it's very likely that Joe Biden and the executive branch can't really do anything about it.
No, they could just fire the SEC guy.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. Jeffrey Tucker did a speech on this exact topic last year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There was something passed in like 1860 or 1870 that basically it gave tenure to some of these bureaucrats where the president could not simply fire them. And I don't remember what the name of that legislation was at the moment, but Jeffrey Tucker did a speech on it last year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I'm sure people out there can find it if they want to, but it isn't necessarily true that the president can just fire people.
Well, I think you're taking the belief that it's all very civilized in Washington, D.C., whereas I will take the belief that people who cross the NSA and the CIA wake up dead.
Okay. I don't For know sure. that that has anything to do with what I said, but okay.
The CIA, who actually runs the government, not Joe Biden, wanted the SEC chairman gone. He wouldn't draw another breath.
Okay, fair enough. But so don't blame the Biden administration for the situation then, right?
I suppose you could send a message to the CIA by getting rid of the Biden administration.
I think this would be happening with or without the Biden administration, and I think it would be happening without this one guy, you know, Gary Gensler. Because, again, I don't know who the guy is that's running the CFTC, but it ain't Gary Gensler. That's somebody else.
Great point.
The government does not like competition, and crypto is competition they can't control.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has filed paperwork for his presidential run. He is anticipated to officially launch his campaign at a town hall event in New Hampshire tonight. President Biden had his first cabinet meeting since he announced he's running for re-election. He told reporters they'd be talking about putting the laws they've passed into action.
Invest in America is more than just a slogan. We're investing in the American people, in our infrastructure, in our manufacturing. We're investing in jobs in almost every community across the country.
We also discussed topics like border security, the climate crisis, and Russia's conflict with Ukraine. 9/11 Families United has expressed strong disapproval regarding the merger between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, which is supported by Saudi interests. The organization's chair, Terry Strada, has criticized PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan, accusing him of exploiting the 9/11 community in the past when he spoke against LIV Golf. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That is the point here on Free Talk Live. Dean, Aria, and Mark joining you. And you can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. There's a lot of features that are waiting for you there, including our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts on our Mastodon server, which, for those of you not familiar, Mastodon is an open source decentralized alternative to the big tech media platforms like Twitter and Facebook. We run this server, so we set the rules, and we don't have very many of those, so you get a lot more freedom to express yourself. Just don't be spamming and don't be snitching in our server. Those are basically the two rules. And, you know, try to play nice, but you don't have to, because you can always just block somebody you don't like, or they can block you. And that's the appropriate way to deal with somebody you don't care for.
It is indeed.
So check it out over at social.freetalklive.com. Unfortunately, the government doesn't work the same way. They use violence and the threat of violence against the people they don't care for, and they are now attacking Binance and Coinbase, the world's some of the world's largest crypto exchanges. Binance, the world's largest by quite a large margin. Coinbase, one of the largest, certainly one of the largest, if not second largest in the United States. And or it's the largest if you talk about the ones based in the United States. Coinbase right. would be the number one there. So they're going after the heavy hitters here with big lawsuits alleging in the case of Binance that Binance had violated securities law by allegedly artificially inflating its trading volumes and diverting customer assets with a web of deception. The agency sued Binance and its founder, Chengpeng Zhao, for failing to restrict U.S. customers from its platform and misleading investors about its market surveillance controls, as well as for operating an unregistered securities exchange. The SEC's complaint filed in federal court in D.C. also alleged, according to Reuters, that Binance and Zhao secretly control customers' assets, allowing them to commingle and divert customer funds. Well,
that's
of course.
Not a secret.
Yeah, of course. That's how Bitcoin exchanges operate. You take in the Bitcoin or whatever other crypto we're talking about from the customers. You pool them all into the same place,
yep.
and you simply track in a database what each customer is supposed to have. That's the efficient way to do things. No one has ever represented that your Bitcoin is separate from anyone else. In fact, you can trace it on the blockchain. When you make a deposit into one of these crypto exchanges, they give you a unique address to deposit. But as soon as it hits that deposit address, they move it into a large address that is their holding wallet.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how they get. That's one of the ways that you can easily identify the crypto exchanges. Some of the blockchain explorers out there. For listeners that don't know, blockchain is the distributed ledger technology that backs the cryptocurrencies. And most of them are public, with the exception of the privacy coins like Monero. So you can just go in there, and some of them will label addresses, because normally when you just look at an address, you don't know whose it is. But these exchanges know which addresses Binance is using, because
right.
they don't change that often. And so if your coins get put into a wallet that then jumps into a Binance wallet right after that, then they know that the initial deposit wallet was also owned by Binance.
See, I assumed it was all just like an HD wallet sort of thing, which is most crypto wallets, if you send to a wallet, it will automatically generate you a new wallet that is completely connected to the initial wallet, but it has a different public address, and it's done this way to help, you know, keep your privacy and stuff like that. I assume that was what was going on here, was just spontaneously generating you an address, which it does, but that this
yeah.
was corresponding to their private address.
Yeah,
that would have
question.
Been my assumption.
That may be true. I don't know what the tech is behind the scenes, but it all ends up in the same wallet,
yeah.
basically. So anyway, they say that it's an elaborate scheme to evade U.S. federal securities laws. The SEC alleged that from September of 2019...
No, they literally cannot scheme to do something that they don't know how to do. The SEC has not made it clear. They specifically said they would not make it clear how to become compliant, because then people would know how to skirt those regulations. So you can't then accuse the SEC of skirting those regulations if you haven't written them, because you're worried that someone will figure out how to skirt them.
You can't accuse Binance of skirting them.
What did I say?
The SEC.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
But they also at the same time say the opposite, which is that all you have to do is just come on in and register. Come
yeah.
on in, have a seat on the couch, we'll sit down, we'll have a chat, you'll be all squared away.
I think the SEC overplayed their hand on this one, man. I think this is one that Coinbase and Binance are going to win, because they can prove that they literally tried to do this.
Mm.
And the SEC was like, nah, try again.
Mm, yeah, it's an interesting argument. I guess we'll see about that. And we're still waiting to hear on the SEC lawsuit against Ripple, which has been in play yep. for years now. And they're just waiting on the judge to issue the ruling in that case. So all the arguments have been made, and this is one of the, you know, the big landmark cases, I guess. So we're still waiting on that. But they lost, or the SEC won the case against Library, LBRY.com,
right.
where they claimed that Library was a so-called security. So, I mean...
And to be fair, I don't have much faith in the federal court system. However,
yeah.
if there's any decency and reason and sense of morality and logic in this system,
there's not.
I know. I know. Maybe a tiny shred. Then there's just no way the SEC could win this, especially the one against Coinbase, but probably the one against Binance as well. It's just utter nonsense.
The complaint said that in September 2019 through June of 2022, Sigma Chain, a trading firm owned and controlled by Chengpeng Zhao, the CEO of Binance, engaged in wash trading that artificially inflated the trading volume of crypto asset securities on the Binance.us platform.
Mark is muted.
Oh, sorry about that, Mark. My bad. Now you're not muted.
Yeah, no problem. I'm curious. One of the things that I'm wondering here is this the mixing funds thing. Mm-hmm. Is this just exactly what banks do? I mean, yeah. It's not like banks. Well, if they're saying it's bad, then it's bad that banks do it, too. And I'm just curious. If this is evil and wrong and Americans need to be protected from it, then why does the government get to do it?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, it's like...
You know when the Democrats will say, but Social Security is not a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
But then they can't say why it's not a Ponzi scheme. And the answer is always, well, because it's the government and they can just print more money.
Correct.
Well, technically, the government doesn't do that. The U.S. banking system and the banks are supposedly separate from the government. Now, I know in real life that's not how it works. But that's one of their
arguments.
They
have a deal, though, right? Yeah. Like, they have a special deal. The Federal Reserve is not the government, quote-unquote, but they work with the government to sell them, to buy all their debt, basically.
They have the legal right to counterfeit the USD. That's ultimately what it all comes down to, is that banks that are part of the Federal Reserve System have the legal authority to counterfeit the USD.
But it's not counterfeiting when they do it.
Right.
In the same way that it's not murder when the cops kill you,
yep.
And it's not, you know, commingling funds when the banks do it, right? So, anyway.
Fun little game they had. And I got into an argument with someone, not really an online argument because I try not to engage in these anymore, but someone said something to the effect of, no, we have to work within the system, you know, in order to make any progress. Libertarians have to, you know, get elected on the sense of, look, no, man. You're playing a game that you know is rigged against you, where the person controlling the outcome of the game is heavily invested in winning the game, and they are controlling the rules that allow them to win the game. The only thing you can do is stop playing the game. It's rigged, man, and you know it's rigged. They're playing with loaded dice, and you know that. It's stupid to continue playing that game that you know is designed for you to lose.
Now, wait a minute. You've run for sheriff.
Yeah, but not because I wanted to go in there and be sheriff and, like, change things, right?
But you would have.
Probably, but that would have been a fluke if I had gotten elected, right? Like, someone who wants to go in as a sheriff and, like, not... I'm not saying don't get elected, especially for local offices. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the presidential election in particular in this case, and that's the most futile one.
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
Some of the others, like, state reps here in New Hampshire, they can have a profound impact.
I mean, because I would love it if we could just walk away from the system and it would just destroy itself, but that's not going
to
happen.
No, I think a more direct approach to destroying the system is necessary. Something like cryptocurrency, civil disobedience, these sorts of things. I think those are the most effective ways of destroying the system rather than, you know, trying to run for president or whatever.
I don't think that cryptocurrency is attempting to destroy the system. I think cryptocurrency is opting out of the system.
But if we don't participate, then the system is destroyed.
Well, not if you, I, and Ian don't participate. If you, I, and Ian don't participate, we have simply opted out. And we don't get to control, sadly, even all the people that listen to Free Talk Live, the, you know, 250,000 people that will listen to Free Talk Live this week, will not listen, will not think to themselves, well, I wonder what Mark wants us to do. So I just think of things that I can do, and then I recommend those things to my listener in the hopes that they can do the same thing. And my recommendation would be use cryptocurrency as much as you can in order to opt out of a system that is rigged against you. Like, forget about all the other extra things about it. It's rigged to that you have to give your wealth whenever they feel like it to the bankers and the big corporations, but I repeat myself, that's what this whole thing's about. Now, when you use that currency, I would go so far as to say you are playing a game that increases your convenience but increases your chance of having it devalued at the same time. Whereas if you use cryptocurrency, yeah, it's a little more inconvenient, but your value will be preserved. So good luck playing this game, but understand that you are playing a game. That whenever you move voluntarily from USD to cryptocurrency, you know, I'm talking about the major ones here, then you are having a better chance of preserving your wealth. And there's still a chance that somehow they can come and, you know, blow a hole in the bottom of this ship. I don't know. And you've got to kind of, you know, you got to spread things out. And that's what
sure.
I
mean, obviously, right. But the point of the don't play the game analogy is that it's simple and easy to understand. You know, when you add all these things to it and add all these technicalities, it takes, you know, 3 minutes to explain instead of 10 seconds.
Well, the system is going to fail.
Yeah.
Okay, it's designed to fail.
They always do.
That's what centralized bank money is designed to do, right? Like every one of them in history has failed. Might have taken some time. Might have taken generations. And in fact, this one's been going for 50 years, roughly, I think, at this point, without any backing. And then, you know, it's been 100-plus years since the Federal Reserve started. So, you know, maybe we're getting to the end of this particular run, but you look back in history, this is what central banks do. They print money until it's devalued to the point where people are sick of it, and then a new scam comes in to take its place. So,
and people fall for it every... Just like the Venezuelans allow their government to just chop off zeros every once in a while. The Americans.
Well, that's the thing. They don't have another option until cryptocurrency, and that's why I kind of agree with Mark on this one. In that, you know, by getting out of the U.S. dollar and not getting into other fiat, but going in, not into other government monies, but going into things like gold backs, gold and silver, cryptocurrency, these other alternatives where you can actually control your funds. That is a way of opting out of a system that will fail. Will that hasten its failure? I think that's a good question. I think that if there were massive opt-outs, I think that might hasten its failure. But at this rate, we're not seeing massive opt-outs. You're not going to likely see people making these decisions until things start to heat up. So there was like some polling recently that was done about, you know, if hyperinflation hits, what will you do?
You'll starve. That's what you'll do. If you're not prepared, you will starve.
People said they would buy gold or whatever at that point.
It will be too late.
That's the thing. It's too late, right? Yeah. I mean, it's never too late, but it's you should get it before the hyperinflation hits rather than when it hits. But that's the thing. People, this goes back to what we were talking about before. People are slow to change. They only make those changes when life really pushes them into it. So until it starts to get to double-digit inflation or, you know, 20% inflation, people aren't going to think about getting out of the dollar.
People,
there has to be something
crazy
to motivate them.
Just to protect yourself. You don't have to get out in a massive way. Just, good Lord, $10 a week in gold or silver could literally keep you and your family alive in the near future.
And this is, but what we have to understand is that there's different types of folks. So I think the number is currently 60% of Americans cannot put their hands on $1,500.
One paycheck. Right. Yeah, because about 60% are living paycheck to paycheck.
One paycheck separates Americans from financial hardship. 60% of Americans from financial hardship.
Yep.
So now we're just dealing with 40% of the population. So that means 40% of the population, I don't know what the percentage of them that is two paychecks from financial hardship, but, you know, some percentage, and my guess is that percentage is, well, let's say five paychecks from financial hardship, that there is, probably another 30%. So like 10%
of
Americans.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if there's ever been a survey on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because most people are just like, they're just gobstopped at the first.
I suspect I suspect the gap is a lot bigger in that, like, you're either living paycheck to paycheck or you probably have, you know, a year's worth of money saved up that you could subsist on. I suspect it goes straight from no money saved to a decent cushion.
We're all just speculating here, so...
we don't know. I don't know, and
it'd be interesting,
you know,
to see just something with a tier breakdown.
Because, if you can save $20 out of each paycheck, and you've been working for 20 years or whatever, then that's a decent nest nest egg.
See, the thing is, I don't believe that there's anybody out there. There's very few people out there living paycheck to paycheck that still couldn't find $20 if they really wanted to, right? Because how many
even a crackhead can find money?
That's
for
what
crack.
I'm saying. How much of the paycheck to paycheck people are spending a good chunk of their paycheck on beer at the end of the week?
Sure.
You know, or cigarettes, or you know, junk food at McDonald's. You know, whatever it is, that there's probably areas are going to.
You're not always going to get warning that you need that extra money that you blow every paycheck. So you could, whatever that financial hardship is, could hit on day 12 of a 14-day pay period.
And that's true, but it's a mindset issue, right? They know that something could come up, and they don't know what it is, but they know that they could get a flat tire, or you know, someone could siphon all the gas out of the vehicle, and they literally don't put any money back. Well, that's a major thing, right? They
sure.
don't put even $20 aside. They will
right.
spend every single penny that they have, and then just hope that nothing is going to come up. That's the issue.
So if you want to comment on all this, feel free to weigh in. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the SEC attacking Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange.
I got one more comment on the idea of living paycheck to paycheck. Money isn't freedom. Money is money, and that's different than freedom. But having money, being able to survive X number of paychecks into the future, that's kind of the definition of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So wealth is the ability to live, you know, however wealthy you are, is how long can you live under the current conditions, you know, without having to work, without having to make more money. And I'll admit, this isn't the easiest scenario to put together. Like holding dollars doesn't work, especially right now when they're devaluing them somewhere between 5 and 10%. But you got to hold something to hold your wealth. I recommend a diverse portfolio because something's probably going to work, whether it's gold or bonds or Bitcoin or whatever it is. I recommend, you know, that sort of thing. But you are sacrificing your freedom. You're giving it to them. Them and those mamma jammas out there. You're giving your freedom to them, whether it's your boss, the corporation, big corporation you work for, whether it's the, you know, the bankers that you have all kinds of loans to, you know, the credit card companies, again, bankers, you know, whoever it is that you're giving your freedom to, that's what you're choosing to do when you carry long-term debt and when you do these things. I made this decision long ago, long before I was holding a great deal of Bitcoin, you know, a lot of value in Bitcoin or anything like that. I made the decision I was going to get out of debt. And we did. And we did it on a middle-class income. You can do it.
All right. Mark is not a financial advisor. That is not financial advice, but that's just what he would do in his...
What do you think is questionable about it?
I don't know. Just making a disclaimer.
Yep.
So the number here is 603...
It's really important.
Yeah, 603-283-6160. Given how these people are, they will sue at the drop of a hat. Anyway, the Binance attack continues here from Yahoo Finance and Reuters. Binance, according to Gary Gensler, the SEC chairman, the top attack dog over there.
And to give you, this dude is affecting an entire industry that, again, employs millions of people, or at least a million-ish people in the mm-hmm. United States. No one elected this guy. That's the definition of a tyranny, right? We live in the society where this one guy can affect the lives of a million people, not to mention all the people who use cryptocurrency and the, you know, Jeremy Kaufman at Library and all of the people at Ripple.
Yep.
Just millions upon millions of people having their lives directly impacted, sometimes destroyed
yep.
by this guy. Completely unelected, completely unaccountable. You can't replace this guy in 2024.
Even if you survive the attack, you will be poorer as a result.
Yep.
You will, you know, in Library's case, they're going to go out of business. The Library Corporation is done for.
And the SEC won't be poorer. They're the government. They cannot run out of money.
That's right. So they have nothing at risk, and you have everything at risk. You will lose something, even if you win, quote unquote, the lawsuit.
And no one wins when the government comes after you.
You will still
pay
for the attorneys.
Lose.
You'll still pay for the time. you'll still lose all that time. As Jeremy Kaufman pointed out from Library, he has been unable to develop the software that he created, that he helped to develop, that he loves. He can't focus. You can't focus on doing anything for your business when you're focused on defending against an attack from the government. And they know this. They know that even if they lose, as you predicted, you hope they're going to lose the Coinbase and the Binance attacks. It's no skin off the SEC's back, and it's a huge distraction to the cryptocurrency industry. And more importantly, it's an intimidation factor, because there's a lot of companies out there who have cut and run over what the SEC has already done. Whether or not they're going to win or not, these companies are like, I don't want to be involved in this.
And I can't blame them.
They're like, I'm out. I'm not going to hire 15 attorneys. We'll just close business in the United States and go international. And that's what Bittrex is doing. But of course,
there's people out there with brilliant ideas that would thrive and make the economy better, or make the world better. But they're looking around. They're like, no, the SEC would just sue me into oblivion.
So Binance, according to SEC Chairman Gary Gensler, he says, we allege that Zhao and Binance entities engaged in an extensive web of deception, conflicts of interest, lack of disclosure, and calculated evasion of the law. Binance didn't immediately respond in a tweet.
I calculate that you're an immoral monster.
Zhao said,
and if you have any sense of decency, you would hang yourself tonight.
Would issue a response once it has reviewed the complaint. Their currency, which is the fourth in the world by market size, dropped more than 5% on the news. Bitcoin also dropped. Every crypto essentially dropped on the news that
Bitcoin's
being sued. Yeah, and it came back. Then it came back after they sued Coinbase. So you never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, every day I open Google and it's like, Bitcoin's on the decline, Bitcoin's crashing or whatever, and you look at the price and it's like still exactly where it's at, or pretty much exactly where it's at, hovering around the $27,000 mark. And that's what happened recently. Like, Bitcoin's crashing, it's dying again. And then it's right back to where it was 24 hours later.
They do a quick recap here on the CFTC, Commodities Futures Trading Commission, attack from March against Binance, where they allege that Binance was a legal exchange and a sham compliance program. And then apparently the Justice Department is also investigating Binance for suspected money laundering and sanctions violations.
Remember when the banks got caught laundering all kinds of money for the drug cartels?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the United States and British governments did nothing?
No, I think Wells Fargo had to pay like $4 billion in fines.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But
they just washed their hands of it.
Gensler is making it clear here when he's like, look, we don't need any more cryptocurrencies. We don't need a war reserve currency. We have the USD.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. He's making it very, very clear that all of his actions here, all of the government's actions, the SEC, the CFTC, they're all directed toward one exact thing, and that's propping up the USD and protecting it from the competition posed by cryptocurrency. That's his motivation here.
Yep.
And that is so unspeakably evil. That's why I say he should hang himself. He's propping up the most evil regime in the history of humanity.
That's his job.
Yes.
The number here is 603-283-6160. So they went after Binance yesterday. Today the news dropped they're going after Coinbase. As you pointed out, Gensler's out there saying, hey, we don't need any of these cryptos. All we need is the dollar. And the other world currencies from the other governments of the world. That's good enough, right? More coming up here. Hour number two is next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.